Screen though. Are we ready to begin?
I think we are.
No, we're not. Where's my notes? Okay. We need to make a motion to do this online. Does that happen at what point?
I think what we'll do is call things to order. We'll do the roll call and then we'll make that special motion.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's kick it off here. All right. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Don Horton, standing in for Daniel Odle, who is our chair. Along with me are the other members of the BZA staff, and also city staff members will be assisting us today. The agendas are available online, and I think if you've signed up, you have seen that. The meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. But pursuant to the BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, a second, and discussion between the board members, and then a vote. The public may address the board, and the following rules apply. Each person may speak for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow 2 minutes to the applicant for a rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium. Speak directly into the microphone. Okay, and speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of the decision of the BZA are made to the Knox City Council. A petition for such appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review, Building and Building Inspections Department no more than 15 days from the date of the BZA decisions. Now I ask Ms. LeClaire to call the roll.
Don Horton.
Here.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
David Dupree.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
Grant, your volume is not up very high.
All right, here. Can you guys hear me?
There we go. Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we have this motion. We have this meeting online as necessary to protect the public, as it was worded in the last month's minutes.
I will second that. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
I think she has to do a roll call.
Do a roll call, yes.
Sure. We'll start with Don Horton.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Okay.
Another motion that we elect Don Horton special chair for today's meeting.
All right. Do we have a second to that?
I'll second it.
And can we have a roll call?
Don Horton?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
David Dupree?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Grant, are you with us?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you for those motions there, David. Also, minutes from last month's meeting.
I move that they be approved.
I'll second that. And do we have a roll call?
Don Horton.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Very good. All right. Our first item on the agenda, get my screen so I can read it, is 11B20VA. And this is at 5132 North Broadway, a sign, a request for allowing larger sign on the Comcast storefront. Is there somebody here to speak to that? Do we have somebody to present their request?
I do see a hand raised.
Okay, and before we do that, I have forgotten to ask if there's comments from the staff.
Sure, staff has no additional comments, and Carrie, you should be able to talk now.
Okay, all right, great.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Hi, my name is Carrie Winstead, and my address is 640 Brookside, Columbus, Ohio, 43209. But I am coming from Advanced Sign Group, and we are Comcast's sign manufacturers and installers for their Xfinity brand. So at this location, we do currently have a storefront sign that is installed. And then there's also a projecting sign as well on the storefront. And what they are asking for is they would like to have the same size sign that's on their storefront on the side elevation as well. We do realize that it faces the parking lot, not a direct road or street right there, but if you go to the last or page 5 of the document, you'll see from the Hillcrest Drive, we have two documents showing into scale on the left. If we are granted the same size sign, the 4'6", and then on the right is the 2'8" sign that we currently would be allowed to have on that side sign, side elevation there. For Xfinity, what kind of sets them up, or kind of is a slight hindrance for them, is the ascenders and descenders on the, you know, the X, F, T, and Y. So if you actually don't count those areas, if you just count the main body of the logo there and leave out the ascenders and descenders, the signs are actually only 36.43 square feet. So it's because we do from the top of the F down to the X, there's so much of that negative space that makes it the 59.9 square feet. So as you can see, it's not like a large obnoxious sign. You know, it is white against the lighter background. And it's, as I said, just because of the ascenders and descenders of those letters that actually make it. So they're requesting, as I said, the same size sign on the side as they do on the front. And I think that's like an additional, let me go back here, like 40, let me see, we're allowed 81.7 and they'd like the 119.8, the identical signs. But as I said, if kind of you don't count the ascenders and descenders, we're actually, you know, under, you know, the square foot allowance. So that's what they would like. So I think that's okay. All I have, if you guys have any questions.
Okay, I'm going to ask if first if there is anybody speaking in opposition to this. All right. I saw that Joyce Feld was on the list. Is she?
There is a hand raised, Dawn. I think Brian will promote her in a moment.
Yeah. Joyce, you should be able to speak. I'm not sure if it's on mute.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. Okay, do you want me to go ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay. My name is Joyce Feld, and I live at 1540 Agawila Avenue, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. And I'm speaking today as president of Scenic Knoxville. There are two issues involved with this variance request. And the first one, as the speaker just communicated to you, the first one involves the criteria, the previous speaker or the applicant. The first one involves the criteria for the measurement of the sign size. Section 6.1 point B addresses that in the sign ordinance and states, for attached signs, the total sign area shall be measured by calculating the entire area enclosed by the perimeter of the extreme limits of the sign cabinet. Or if the sign face is not a part of a sign cabinet, the sign copy, including vertical and horizontal spacing between letters and logos on the sign face. So these are the criteria spelled out in the ordinance that are used to measure all attached signs, no matter how far parts of the sign extend above or below the rest of the sign content. Scenic Knoxville does not think it would be appropriate to deviate from what's stated in the ordinance for a single applicant when other sign owners have been held and will be held to the standards dictated by the ordinance, irrespective of the length of ascenders and descenders in their logo signs. And I've seen many signs over the years with these ascenders and descenders, and their sign size was still measured in the same way. The second issue has to do with visibility of this proposed side sign from Hillcrest Drive. And the building is set back from Hillcrest Drive by 340 feet as noted in the application. However, the Xfinity building has no road frontage on Hillcrest Drive. And under the ordinance, there is no right that a sign should be visible from roads on which the building is not located. The applicant was aware of the location and topography of the property when a choice was made to locate the business there. It's not incumbent on the zoning code to adjust its standards to confer an advantage to the applicant that is not inherent in the property. In conclusion, the applicant has not claimed a legitimate hardship according to the standards specified in the Knoxville zoning ordinance under section 16.3.E. The applicant will not be denied reasonable use of their property if this variance is not granted. The sign ordinance allows 10% of the square footage of the primary building facade. The applicant can choose to divide this square footage any way that he or she chooses. If a larger sign on the side of the building is desired, this can be achieved by decreasing the size of the sign on the front facade, as long as the total square footage does not exceed 81.7 square feet. It should also be noted that in addition to the attached signs and the projecting sign, the applicant also is listed on the directory sign on North Broadway. So there are many ways to identify the location of the applicant and to find their location. So Scenic Knoxville, given this information, Scenic Knoxville respectfully requests that this variance request be denied. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments from the board. Well, when I first read this, I thought, how knowing where the building is and knowing its relationship to Broadway, it took me a minute or two to figure out 340-foot sight line from to the sign. And I agree with what Ms. Feld was saying, is that it is not even adjacent to the street, the side street. So that that certainly is not a hardship, that the request to be seen from that distance, not even connected to that street. Any other comments from the board on this?
Ms. Winstead, would you like to address the issue of hardship?
Well, I did have a comment that, you know, Ms. Feld read through the criteria for the sign code. And I just wanted to make it clear that we understood the sign code, and that's why we are going for the variance. And that, you know, I, as I stated in the beginning, you know, we understand that it's the top of the F, you know, to the bottom of the X, the whole perimeter, you know, and I did comment about, we understand it's not facing the, it's not directly on that road. So, you know, we do understand the code, and that's why we went for a variance, asking for something, you know, different than the code. And, you know, I guess a hardship in the sense of, you know, gosh, how do I word this? I guess the side sign, you know, to be able to be a standard size, you know, normal, a sign in the front, it's just the side on the sign is just going to be extremely small at only, you know, 2'8". And yes, we understand we're not directly related on Hillcrest, but that is the road to the side of the building that is viewable from, you know, from the road. That's the side. So I guess that's all.
Other comments from the board?
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, my mic's had issues earlier. Have this question to staff, have there been other variances on this property? And I should know this, we did the construction on the first watch on the adjacent, on the other side of this building. But I noticed there is a sign, there's a first watch sign on both sides of the building. I'm just looking on Google Street View. But do those signs comply, or were there any previous variances on this particular parcel?
Yeah, this is Brian Berry with the city. Grant, I didn't look to see if their variances had been approved for signs with regards to this strip mall. It was just for the application at hand.
Okay, thank you.
That is a good question, but
Just in context of this particular, I mean, I live nearby, I'm very familiar with this development, I was just trying to look at the whole the property as a whole and what the other side of the building. I don't see a real hardship. I understand the logic behind the application and you know, the unique characteristics of the particular, the Xfinity logo and how that is creating a unique situation, making the sign appear to be larger than it really is going to look. With that said, I don't see any deprivation of, you know, use of the property. I don't think it's going to hinder anybody finding this store. again, I'm having trouble finding a true hardship for the variance itself.
Other comments from the board? I tend to agree with Grant that I don't really see a hardship in this case. I will make a motion that we deny this application.
I'll second it.
Okay, we've got motion and a second. Roll call vote.
John Horton?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
David Dupree?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Well, the motion is carried and this request is denied. And as I said in the opening, you are welcome to appeal to the City Council if you so wish. So let's move on to the next. I guess I need to get it up there. The next. Hang on. There we go. Okay, this is 11C20VA, 1301 Cherry Tree Lane, and the request is to. Grant a variance on setbacks. I believe it was a side yard setback. It's a corner lot that always has the frontage of the side yard and agreeing with the front yard setback. So do we have somebody to speak to this now? In support of it.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for your time today. I'm Davis Tarwater. My wife, Brittany, and our 11-month-old son live at the address, 1301 Cherry Tree Lane. And we're attempting to cover an existing deck to create a screened-in porch for our family to enjoy for a longer portion of the year. And as you mentioned, because we're on a corner lot, we have a 25-foot setback limitation. And we're just requesting a 10-foot setback, similar to some of the neighbors in our neighborhood that have similar porches. And due to the slope of the lot itself, our house sits in the back corner, leaving only 25 feet from the house to the property line. And we're not seeking to add to the existing footprint nor deviate from the aesthetics of our house nor that of the neighborhood. We've also included two letters of support from our nearest neighbors, one of which attests to the fact that the deck was originally constructed in the 90s. And we just believe that being granted this variance will allow us to use our property to its fullest potential. So thank you again for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Again, I forgot to ask if the staff has any comments on this.
No additional comments.
Okay, thank you, Brian. All right. Do we have anybody to speak in opposition to this request? All right. Comments from the board? Oh, good. I didn't see the photographs. There we go.
I will say, this is Brian with city staff. I will say one comment. So the applicant began enclosing the existing deck into a screened-in porch without a permit. And that's what's ultimately brought them before you today, because to take the deck and to screen it in, an enclosed deck becomes a part of what is considered the primary structure. And that's why they're asking for the setback requirement from 25 feet to 10 feet.
And the deck itself is in compliance with the setback. It's the fact that putting a roof on it and screening it in requires a deeper setback. Is that right, Brian?
Let me take a look here. So decks are allowed to encroach a max of 10 feet into a rear setback. That setback is 25 feet. So the deck itself actually extends beyond what that encroachment is. So it would need to be 15 feet, but since it's existing, it is what it is, 10 feet from the property line.
Okay.
So to putting a deck out there is okay, but to cover it would require some kind of adjustment, because that puts it in a different category at that point, right? Is that what I'm understanding, Brian?
That is correct. An enclosed porch is considered part of the principal structure. And so when you go to screen it in, it's considered an enclosed porch and becomes part of the principal structure.
So it's the fact that it's screened, it's not necessarily covering the deck that creates the problem, but the fact that it's being screened in.
Let me find this definition for you real quick. So a porch that is enclosed by walls, screens, lattice, or other material, by definition, is considered an enclosed porch and part of the principal structure.
Other comments from the board?
Go
ahead.
I do think there is potentially a legitimate hardship with regard to the topography and the siting of the house, that it does seem to be located according to where it would best sit with the topography.
Yes, the original placement of the house, I would agree with you there, that probably dictated its location. The topography is not affecting the deck, though, but I can see that the house, by its location, with the topography, is an issue.
I'll make a motion. We approve this variance based on the hardship and not just the topography, but the siting, the fact that it's a corner lot, no opposition from neighbors. It's a pretty heavily treed area, existing structure that's being enclosed. So I don't see any harm being done here. And I think it's a reasonable request.
I'll second that. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote here?
John Horton.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Motion carries. And the appeal is granted. Okay. And we have 11D20VA. This is a request for set It's a dimensional request at 4817 Chambliss Avenue. And there is a small lot and trying to work in the driveways around the rear. Okay, do we have somebody to speak in favor? Comments for the staff.
Staff has no additional comments.
Okay. Okay, so is there somebody to speak to in support of this request?
You go. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Are we able to access?
Ron, if you and Hillary are together and you have two devices that you're both trying to Zoom on, we're getting some feedback because of that. We might need to go just one device.
I'm going to mute on here and go to you.
Juliana, I think we fixed that.
Okay, great.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Hillary Bergen. We're trying to fix the device issue still. Sorry about that. Do we have it off? Okay, I think we're off now. I'm with Anderson Bergen. My address is 675 Morganton Square Drive, located in Maryville, Tennessee, zip code 37801. I assisted Mr. Hall with the application with request for a couple of variances. Given the strange times that we find ourselves in getting on the agenda and signing up for the meetings, I subbed in for Mr. Hall due to some issues outside of our control, but he is with me today if you have any specific questions. But the property is a recently rezoned office property located in the village of Bearden on Chambliss Avenue. This is a lot that has a square footage in total of less than 7,000 square feet. As I understand it, the present square footage of the residence that is located thereon is less than 1,200 square feet. What Mr. Hall proposes and is working with George Ewart on is doing a small extension in the back and turning this residence, keeping its residential characteristic and turning it into a design studio. With the addition of the square footage in the back to complete this design studio that will be by appointment only and keep all the residential characteristics, the parking will go in the back. With the existing square footage and the proposed additional square footage, we will need one handicap space, and we will also need three primary other spaces due to current regulation. In addition, up and down the street, most of these homes are turning office and are design studios, yoga studios, therapy offices, and they all have single drives. We've included some photographs in the package for you to look at that shows these small driveways, generally speaking, less than 10 feet. And these drives go into the back of the existing buildings that are zoned office for their parking in the rear, which is what we would like to do to maintain no parking in the front of 4817 Chambliss, to keep its residential characteristic, which really fits in line with the village of Bearden. In order to do so, we are requesting a reduction in the minimum drive aisle width so that we can accommodate that 90 degree angle parking in the rear of the building. Right now, I think the maximum width is right a little bit less than it appears, 9 feet, 10 inches. And then at the front corner of the building, it is existing right now at 9. The second variance we're requesting is the interior side setback. This is a newly office owned parcel, and we are abutting two residential presently designated residential districts. And we would like to take that with the board's approval to 6 feet, 6 inches, so that we can make everything fit. And I would note that several of the office houses on Chambliss, the actual width of the drive is even less than 9 feet. So it's just the way that these houses were built when they were built. And what we have is a less than 7,000 square foot lot.
Okay,
and that's all we have. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Brian, did I ask if there were any comments from the staff on this?
There's no additional comments than what's been provided.
Right. All right. Great. Is there anybody to speak in opposition to this variance? All right. Comments from the board. It definitely is a narrow lot to try to accommodate access to the back for the additional parking. So I see that the difficulty in working with this this narrow lot, and also that this area, I'm surprised that there are any residences in this area. I thought most of these buildings had already converted to some kind of small business. So I'm seeing that this solution appears to be as good as can be for this site. And you are adding doubling of, it appears to be about doubling the square footage of the building?
No. We're only adding 12 feet by 24, so only about 20%.
Mr. Horton, we're calculating that right now. I know that there was a Scribner's error on George's original plan, but I think the addition is going to be an. We're doing the calculation right now for you because I think there was a small error.
400 square feet.
It is an additional of 400 square feet. So we are looking at roughly about 1600 square feet, Mr. Horton.
Okay, thank you. So this is still within the minimum lot size coverage for the lot?
We believe so. That was our understanding from Mr. Viewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is Brian Berry with city staff. The office zone, which is what this parcel is zoned, it does not have a maximum lot coverage.
Lot coverage, okay.
Right.
Other comments from the board? Okay, I will move that. This is a small, narrow lot for this situation, and it is an improvement of the property. And I will move that we approve this appeal.
I second the motion.
Okay, motion and second. Can we have a roll call?
John Horton.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. And this appeal is approved. Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good presentation, thank you. Okay, I guess that is everything on our agenda, and we can adjourn the meeting.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Good night,
Happy
everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
See you next month.